wisdom, amen? But wisdom gives you the knowledge to know something is there. Wisdom says, I don't know exactly what it is, but I know it's there. Do you understand what I'm saying? Wisdom lets you understand and be able to discern between right and wrong. It helps you to discern between truth and error. Whoa, thank you. And wisdom is amazing because without it, you're just going to fall into the traps and the snares of the devil. You're going to make the wrong decisions. You're going to act the wrong way. You're going to do everything just about wrong without wisdom. But wisdom will give you the ability to understand, hey, I need to do that. Hey, I shouldn't do that. Hey, you know what? That doesn't sound right. You get me? Yeah. But understanding puts that wisdom into perspective. Right. And our perspective is how we see things. Amen? And what it is our perspective with God is we start down here. We start at the foot of the cross. We're all sinners, right? Amen. We can see that. And we can see the physicality of our lives. And we see that we are in need of a Savior. We need to be saved. And if you don't think you need to be saved, you're full of pride and you are wicked and you don't even know it because you think you're better or no more than God does. God says we're all of our righteousness is like filthy rags. God says we've all sinned in his eyes. None of us are clean. We're all unclean. So we all start at the foot of the cross. But then when we look up to Jesus and we receive Jesus Christ, he elevates us. Amen. He lifts us up so we have a higher perspective of ourselves. Now we can see a little further. We can see a little better. Can I get an amen? And we see, wow, I was going the wrong way. Good morning, Anton. I was heading down that road. I didn't realize how bad. I knew it was a bad road, but I didn't think it was that bad. You know, boy, and you see things. And as you get to read, and as you get wisdom, and as you get understanding, he elevates us to higher heights. And he brings us up, and we see further. Right. And not only further, but we see clearer. And as we have more understanding, we start to see the whole picture. We start to see the way down there at the end than we did here, because when you first get started, you can only see so far, amen? But as God elevates you and raises you up and gives you more revelation, you get to see farther, you get to see clearer, and you see not only the light at the end of the tunnel, but you just get to see the end of the tunnel. You see the end where you're heading. And I want to ask you a question right now. Where are you heading? How far out can you see right now? Where are you heading? What's your end? Right now, I'm asking you. Tell me, somebody. Huh? What? Who said tangos?
Said kingdom.
Oh, kingdoms. Is that what he said? Yes. All I heard was tangos. I'm like, what? Guys are crazy over here. So I'm asking you, how far out can you see? Because you can only understand as far as you can see. You can only act in the way you're supposed to act according to as far as you can see. And the problem is people act like they can see far, but they can barely see in front of them. Do you get what I'm saying? That's why, you know, we need more light. We need more understanding. We need more wisdom to see farther out, to see the end game. Not just the end game, but to see where you're going to be. And I'll tell you right now, a good thing would be for all of us to look at ourselves in 5 years from now and see where we want ourselves to be and start working on that. And I'm not talking about physically, but you can do that too. I'm talking about spiritually. I'm talking about for God. Because in all reality, if you saw far out, you'd see that this earth means nothing. If you saw far out, you'd see that everything's going to burn up. If you saw far out, you're going to see you on a deathbed, and you'll never one time say, man, I wish I worked another day. Man, I wish I had another dollar. Man, I wish I went on vacation more. You're not going to care about that. And what happens is wisdom elevates you, get to see. So how far out can you see? What do you see? Tell me, I want to hear from you. What do you see for you out there? What do you see? What's out in the future for you? I mean, how far can you see? I can't hear you. How far can you see, Tone? How far can you see, Joe? And that's my point. Silence. I'm surprised. I thought you guys would be saying heaven.
I did say eternity.
I didn't hear you. All I heard was gibberish over there, and then I heard heaven. Heaven? Is that as far as you can see? That's not the end. If I die right now, my soul's going to heaven. My body's still in the ground dead. I don't want to see that. If I see a little further, I see Jesus coming back, and I see him resurrecting my body, and I see me having a glorified body, and I'm hanging out with Jesus on this earth. I'm not in heaven. I'm on this earth. Heaven's here. The king's here. So I see a kingdom, but I see farther than that. I see farther past the 1,000-year reign. And I see the celestial kingdom coming down in heaven. Amen. And the celestial kingdom coming. The real New Jerusalem coming. And I see eternity where hell's gone. Death's gone. Devil's gone. Everything's gone. It's just us and God for the beginning. And that's as far as I can see. And that's the beginning of a whole new chapter that God isn't even let me see yet. And I'm seeing the end game. So if I could see the end game, then I understand what's happening now in my life. I see why things are happening in my life right now, because we know that all things work together for good. We know that God's in control. We know that God's doing something. We know that God's making and creating, and he's got to break some eggs, and he's got to break some things. Go ahead. Yes. You are correct. We do need to prepare now. But what is he preparing? He's not preparing you to get ready. He's preparing you personally. And that's the whole thing. That's what I want you to see. The mystery. We're talking about mysteries. Amen. Look in Mark chapter 4 with me, please, in verse 11. Mark 4:11 says, "And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, these things are done in parables. That seeing, they may see, but they not perceive. And hearing, they may hear and not understand. Lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them." And he said unto them, "Know you not this parable? How then will you know all parables?" I'm not talking about the parable of the sower of the seed right now, but I am talking about mysteries, and I'm talking about God speaking to us in parables. I'm talking about God, how come we don't know, and we need to know. Amen? And he said, "To you it's given to know the mysteries of the kingdom." I want you to turn with me, if you would, Romans 11. Romans chapter 11. Look in verse 25. Brian, turn me down a hair, just a hair, please. Romans 11:25 says, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery." The apostles, they understood, they had revelation. God gave them revelation that they didn't have before, and they saw things, and they saw far out things. And they, because of that revelation, and because of the Holy Spirit of God revealing it, God said, "Write it down so that we can know." He says, "I would not, brethren, have you be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." And here we're talking about a mystery about Israel, and it is a mystery, but that's not seeing afar off. That I can see that happening tomorrow. I could see that right away. Turn with me, if you would, please, to Romans 16, verse 25. "For now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began." He's saying that you can't get established, really, truly rooted, grounded, settled, unmovable, rooted, established. Do you hear these words I'm saying? Because that's the problem in the church today. I consider myself, doesn't mean it is. I fear God. So the fear of the Lord keeps me going straight.
Amen.
But I kind of see myself, I'm pretty established. I know I am. But I don't want to get cocky and think that something, you know what I mean? I don't want to get like too confident and say, No. I'm scared to do that. But I do feel rooted, grounded, and settled in my Lord. I love him with all my heart. Amen. I got that settled. I mean, I know whom I believe and whom I have trusted. Amen. But he's saying you can't be established. You can't be rooted, grounded, settled unless you know and understand the mystery. He says, and God has power to help you to be established. And I truly believe that the Christianity and the churches today don't fully, truly understand what's going on. What happened? How do you figure out when trouble hits your life? What do you do when you're in church and you're doing everything you can do right, Tony, and then disaster happens? Like, what is going to happen to you? What, say, in the beginning, when you first getting saved, and trouble happens, you're kind of used to it because you've been in trouble your whole life. But as after 10 and 15 and 20 years of doing right, you expect good things in your life, and you expect roses, and you expect some perfume and blessings and hallelujahs, and you get them along the way. But what happens when disaster hits and you don't know why? And that's what we need to be established and understand what God's doing. Because this is what, for the next couple weeks, I want us to truly understand what God is doing. And I look what he says. He says, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret. According to the revelation, that means just revealing to us right now what is the mystery that God wants us to know. And look with me, if you would please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It's just a few pages over, maybe one. 1 Corinthians 2:7 says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained, please pay attention to these words, God ordained it before the world unto our glory. Before he created the world, God already ordained what we're talking about right now. Before the beginning of the world, God ordained to do something inside of a people, inside of you, inside of me, because he has a purpose that he purposed in himself before he even created anything. So that's a whole lot of understanding that we need. Look what it says. It says, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor has your ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man. What? What? The things which God has prepared for them that love him. Amen. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yeah, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. And it says, goes on, so we've received that Spirit. So we have the ability to understand all things. We have the ability to understand the whys to everything. And that's the to me, that is so exciting. To me, to find out the mystery of everything is awesome. That's the one thing, Tony, when I get to see the Lord, I got so many questions for him.
Amen.
Like, why this? And what happened here? And why I want to know that? You know what I mean? And he's going to let us know. But I'll tell you right now, he gives me the understanding of my life. I don't have to understand your life, even though I do, because we're all the same. But I can understand my life. But what happens when you're the pastor or a parent and your child's going through something and they're ready to lose their mind and you're trying to explain to them, it's okay. This is all part of it. This is all part of the process. You know, when the Sixers were going through the process, remember that? People were up in arms like, what are you doing? You're tanking. You're losing for 2-3 years. It didn't work, but God's process does work. Amen. And they're losing their mind. That's what's happening in our lives right now. Some of us might be losing our minds. What's going on? And that's what God wants us to do, to know what's going on. And if you can truly understand what's going on, you can not just be prepared for it, but you can, and I don't want to say like you can welcome it, but I can say that when it's happened, you can tough it out. You can tough it out. Like if I knew that there was, just saying, I'm making up foolishness right here. But if I knew that there was $1 billion in gold, right? Like right over there, but there was a giant or a monster in front of it and I had to kill the monster. I like, okay, I'm going for it. I got a sword. I'm going to fight the monster. What if he beats me up? What if he this? What if that? You know what I mean? Like, but I'm going for it. Well, if you knew what the temptations and the trials and the sufferings and the pain that God has for you to get to the pot of gold, to get to where God wants you, you would be able to, all right, I'm armoring myself up. I'm getting ready for this battle. I know I'm in for a tough ride, man. I know it's going to be rough. I'm going to fight that devil. I'm going to fight that dragon. I'm going to fight that giant. I'm going to fight that devil. You know what I mean? And you'd be prepared for it. But when you're not prepared for it and you don't know what's up there and you don't know why. Why is this happening? Why am I in a fight? Why am I in a trial? Why? And then you fall apart. But if you can understand what God is doing, then that's what I hope and pray we get out of this next lesson. Turn with me, if you would, please, to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. See, this excites me. This excites me to no end. I'll tell you why. Because when God reveals stuff to me, I get fired up. I like being revealed stuff. Amen. I like it when I see and I understand. And then I like it when I see and I understand. And then like 15 other verses all come clarity together. Oh, that's why. That's why. That's why. Ah, you know what I'm saying? Are you with me?
Amen.
Well, I want you to get there because it's exciting to me. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians 15, 15:51. He said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That means die. But we shall all be what?
Change.
The change is the whole motivation of what God is doing. Change is the whole motivation of why God sent his son. Change is everything. And I'm here to tell you, if you're not willing to change to get better, to be holier, to be stronger, to be smarter, to be wiser, to be kinder, if you're not willing to change, then you're not in the process of what God's trying to do. God is not trying to take us as we are. He's trying to create in us something spectacular, something off the charts amazing, something that you could would blow your mind too much. Look at me, if you would, in Ephesians 1, Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, 9. It says, having made known unto us, I love that, thank you, Lord. Having made known unto us the mystery of what? See, that's the thing. It's not the mystery of our will. It's not the mystery of the Bible. It's not the mystery of mysteries. It's not the mystery of the parables, which is all good. It's the mystery of his will. Because it's not about us. It's about him.
Right.
See, we don't need God. I'm sorry. Forgive me, Lord. I totally rewind that back. He doesn't need us. There you go. Thank you. God doesn't need us. Hey, buddy. I'm right in the middle. God doesn't need us. I'll try again. God doesn't need you. I'll try one more time. God doesn't need you, Mike. Say amen or yes, sir. Or say moo or something. God doesn't need corrupted man. We're good for nothing. But God's will is something else. And if we will understand his will and start to just let his will be known to us, let his will be processed in us, start to go along with the plan,
amen,
we're going to see how useful we will become.
Yep.
Look in verse. Oh, hold on. Where were we? Yeah, I know. Okay. Look in Ephesians 3. Hold on. I don't feel like I've read the whole verse. Ephesians 1:9. It says this. It says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. That's right, because I didn't finish reading. According to his good pleasure, which he has what? Purposed in himself. I want you to see that. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he, God, might gather together in one, that's Christ, all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, with even in him. In heaven, the angels and the powers and the principalities don't know God's eternal purpose. They have to go along with what he says as well. That's why many of them rebel and some of them fall away, because they don't fully trust him what he's doing. And that's the problem with us. Sometimes we don't fully trust him what he's doing. If you fully know the Lord and you fully trust the Lord, what are you going to do when temptation comes, when trial comes, when terrorism comes, when disaster comes? I'm going to trust in the Lord either way, because I've learned that. Amen. Look in chapter 3 with me, Ephesians 3. 3:3. It says, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. And the Apostle Paul says, as I wrote before in a few words. He says, hereby, whereby, when you read, when you do what? When you read what? Your Bible. It says, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by what? By that spirit I told you about. Why? What is, like, he keeps on adding more. Look what he says. That the Gentiles, that's us, should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. See, there's so much more. There's always more. There's always more with God.
Amen.
There's always more. And I want us to understand the mystery. And there's seven mysteries, but we're going to look at this one first. Turn with me, if you would, please, to Ephesians, verse 9. Did we read 9? No. Verse 3:9. It says, and to make all men see. This is what God wants. That's why he told us to go and preach the gospel to every creature. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to say, to the intent that now unto the principalities and the powers in the heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. That might be known to the church all the powers and all the existence of molecules and gravities and radio waves and the things that I can't even comprehend. Dark matter and the creation and everything that God has put into existence, and by his power, he wants all that to be known by us, the church. Why does he want us? He wants us to know everything that he knows.
Amen.
He doesn't want to keep anything from us, even though as we grow in him, as we live in him, he reveals more and reveals more and reveals more. So in a billion years from now, we'll probably be learning more and more and more. In a trillion years from now, we'll be learning more and more, because God is infinite knowledge. But I'll tell you what, the little bit that I get to know and the little bit he reveals to me is, excuse me, woo! Man, I got goosebumps right now. I'm serious. It gets me excited because I know it's true, Tony. I don't hear it saying, yeah, want one. This is real.
Amen.
It's real in my life. It's real in your life. It's real. It's really coming. I'll tell you right now, it's about to happen soon. Some of it anyway. The first couple layers of it. Turn with me, if you would, please, to Ephesians 5. And this is where we're kind of starting this course at here. Ephesians 5:32, talking kind of about today. The message is going to be about the marriage, because we have a wedding today coming up. And that wedding was not just started in the past couple hundred years or thousand years. It was intended and started and purposed by God himself in the beginning. But look what it says in Ephesians 5:32. It says, this is a what? Say it, church.
Great mystery.
It's the only time he says great mystery. It's a great mystery. What can be greater than all these other mysteries? What can be greater, Steve? He said, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning what?
Christ.
And the church. See, people take the church lightly. Ha, ha, ha. See, I don't know how to handle people. Because if it was me, I would just yell at them. It doesn't work. I try my wife, it doesn't work. I try the kids, it doesn't really work. My dog, it works, but no one else. If it was me, I would just say, what's wrong with you, man? Get into church every service. And then they'd never show up. What's wrong with you? Read your Bible. That doesn't work. But I want people to understand the greatest mystery is Christ and us. Christ and his church. Christ, who he is, one of the great mysteries that we talked about the past weeks, who Christ is, the great mystery. We find out he's literally God, the creator, and his bride. Christ, God, and his wife. Christ, God, his bride, his people, because of his purpose that he purposed before anything was even created. When he was outside of time and eternity and nothing was nothing. I can only understand what I know. Did he make the nothing? I don't know. We're going to find out at all though. Amen. But I know he made the everything.
Amen.
I don't know if he made the nothing, Anton, but I know he made the everything. And I know he made the everything out of nothing. So I don't know. There's so much to learn, right? But he made everything. The whole universe. And as they have that telescope out there and they're seeing universes and galaxies, and they're like, Wow, it's more than you could ever imagine. That's why I said, eye has not seen, nor ear has ear heard, neither has it even entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them. Because God, we look at it in time, like, okay, when are you going to do it? God doesn't, he's outside of time. All we got to do is know what he's doing right now in you. I want you to think about this for a second, is when he said, this great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Look over in chapter 6, verse 19. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the what? The mystery of the gospel. Because that is where how we get started in God's plan. How we get started in God's purpose. How we get started to be, start to begin to be the new creation is in the gospel. We've got to hear the gospel and we've got to accept the gospel. And that's the new beginning, the new birth. And now we have we're on track to what God's doing in all eternity. I want you to think about the great mystery, how it is Christ and the church. And the great mystery is the church. You know what? Please pay attention. The great mystery is us. But not you personally, us collectively. Not you personally, the church is the body of Jesus Christ on this earth.
Amen.
The church is the purpose Jesus came. The church is the beginning of the new creature and creation of what God has done and said he's going to done. You don't ever take the church lightly, because if you take the church lightly, you're taking Jesus Christ lightly. I'm just letting you know, there's so much in there. Look in, he talks about the mystery from the beginning. Look in Genesis. Let's go back to the beginning. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1. Hi, Raven. Look in verse 26 with me. It says, and God said, let us make man in our image, in after our likeness. You see, this is the beginning of his purpose way before he ever created the earth or anything in it. Let us make man. And that's the whole thing that you have to understand. Are you man? Yes, you are. Let us make man in our image. What? Angels aren't created in God's image. In our likeness. Angels aren't like God. Do you understand a little bit what God is saying here? That before the world and the universes were created, he's thinking about something. He's thinking about what he wants. What he wants. Not what we want. What he wants. And what he wants is the end product. And that's what's going on. We happen to be, thank you, God, in process of becoming what he wants.
Amen.
And what he wants is us. And don't tell anyone because it's a secret. He wants us to be new creatures, new creations. He's creating new beings to be like him.
Amen.
Let that sink in for a minute. He's creating from He created from raw materials. He created the earth and the sky and the trees and the birds and the flowers and the animals and the fish. And he created man from the raw materials. And out of that raw materials, he created a human body. Amen. Out of clay, out of dirt. And he breathed his breath of life and it became eternal living being. And that's how he started with that. Now that eternal living being has to have a process to become like God. Because we're not like the angels and we're not like the animals. We are made in the image and the likeness of God. Amen. Think about some things. You won't be able to understand it all, but if you can understand little bits, think about one thing God knows. Everything.
Amen.
We don't even know ourselves yet.
Right.
He says, know your own self.
Yep.
Prove your own self. We have so much work to be known, but you know what? More than knowing myself, you know what I know? I know that I'm nothing. I know that I'm dirt. I know that I can't do anything without him.
Amen.
So it puts me down and makes him very important in my life. And when that happens, I can start to just be, okay, you tell me what to do. You tell me what not to do. I'm listening to you. And God's like, okay, I got pliable clay now. I got some clay that I can work with. Amen? And he starts working on you, making you. So at the end of this mortal life, You're better than you were when you first started. Amen. But that's not the end. He's still got more and more creation. In the beginning, look what it says. It says, God created, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God, here's more purpose. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Amen. I'm here to tell you right now that we were created to be and like God. Let me just put it simply. His children. His creation. I want you to look with me in chapter 2. It's verse 7. It says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. No other being has he breathed his life into. No other being has he breathed his breath into. There is no other creation of any kind that's like man. Because later on, Adam and Eve listen to the devil, and they take of the fruit that they're told not to take, and they become, now they, it's a tree. What was that tree that they ate of?
Knowledge.
It was a tree of knowledge of good and evil. Do you think God knows what evil is?
Yep.
Do you think God knows what good is? Mm-hmm. You think God knows the effects of all of evil? You think God knows the effects of one little sin? Yep. God knows exactly what it is and what it does and how it will destroy one little sin will destroy his creations that he's created. One sin. So now he allows man to partake of the tree of knowledge that he would never tell him to do. He partook of that tree. Now he has the knowledge of evil and of good. That sounds like man, right? There's some good in the world, and there's a lot of evil in the world. But the thing is what Jesus said, what God said at the end, that now man has become as one of us, knowing both good and evil. Lest they eat of the tree of life and live forever in that state. Hide that tree of life. Stop it so they will die. Because man has to live, has to experience, and has to die. But the great thing is, God says, when you die, you're just a seed that's being planted into the ground. I'm going to bring you back to life. I'm going to resurrect that, because how much do you think you've learned in your birth? How much do you think you've learned in your childhood? How much do you think you've learned in your teenage years, in your young years? How much have you learned in your middle-aged years? How much you've learned in your older age? How much have you learned in death? And when you are risen up again, you'll know a whole lot more about sin and life and death than you ever did before.
Amen.
And you'll be a different person. But the whole thing is, we're not doing it on our own. We're doing it according to his spirit that's in us. He's creating something. I spent too much time on that. I like it. All right. Amen. I want you to turn with me, if you would, to look in verse 18. Oh, we did. Turn to Ephesians 1:9 again. Ephesians 1:9. I'm going to hurry up and finish. I can't wait for next week. I love talking about this, because it gets another chapter opens and another layer unfolds and more knowledge and understanding of things. But in Ephesians chapter 1, we've read this before, verse 9. It tells us, it says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. Do you see that? It's not about us. It's about what God's plan is. So you have to be able to go with that, to go with the flow of that, so that you can be okay with it. So you can understand that God is in control. That if those that love the Lord, right? If you love the Lord, if you're serving the Lord, you have nothing to worry about, really. I mean, I'm not saying it's going to be fun, but I'm just saying you know that God's in control. Amen? And he's doing it for a purpose. It is to have what he purposed to have from the beginning, and that was children, that was people made in his image, in his likeness. Proverbs 8:30. And I am kind of out of time. I definitely am out of time. We'll come back to Proverbs 8:30, but let's finish with this. 2 Corinthians 5 and Galatians 6, and then I'm done. Second Corinthians 5:17, we know this verse very well. And it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? He's a new creature. So I want you to think about that. Just don't pass that off. He's a new creature. That means a creature that's never existed before. And he's called a creature because God is making something out of nothing. God is making something out of dirt. God is making something out of man. God is working and creating being that has never existed before. A being that is above the angels. A being that is above powers and principalities. A being that will be like him. Because he purposed in himself to have it. I'm not saying God was ever lonely. I don't believe he ever was. But he wanted more. When he created everything for a purpose. When he created us for purpose. There's no happenstance. We are in the process of a new creature, a new creation. Look with me, if you would, please, to Galatians 5, 6. And I'll finish here for time-wise. Galatians 6, verse 15. Galatians 6, verse 15. It says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. What's the only thing that avails, Lord? A new creature. What's the only thing that matters anything? A new creature. What is all that everything matters? A new creature. That's all that matters.
Amen.
Because that's what he's doing. He's creating. And if we were there in the process of creating, it must look like a mess. If we were there in the process of creating man, imagine the angels going, it's dirt. It's dirt. You see what God did, blowing his breath into us? And now we become living souls. And he has a purpose for us. It says, the only thing that matters is the new creature. And that started when you got born again.
Amen.
That started when the seed of God himself entered into you. As that seed takes plant and its roots, it starts to grow and start to produce fruit. Amen? And that's what I want you to see. And we'll finish, pick it up next week out of time. We got 15 minutes till service starts. So go do what you got to do. Get a cup of coffee, whatever, cookie. And I'll see you in 15 minutes. God bless you.